talking to Micheál Cunningham, whose 22-year-old daughter, Ciara, was murdered by Gordon Malloy. And he's just got a letter yesterday to say that Gordon Malloy, this happened less than 10 years ago, but that Gordon Malloy will be getting a day out to spend with his family in 2 weeks' time. And Micheál, as on behalf of his family and indeed her friends, are trying to stop this. Micheál, and I'm prompted by what Michael said about his partner Noreen, but your daughter Ciara, the last thing in her mind that day was to look after, she told Jamie, the 4-year-old, to run.
Yeah.
So that was the last thing in her priorities, obviously.
When Ciara gave birth to Jamie, Jamie was just the apple of her eye. It's number one in the world, nothing else mattered to him. And that's it in a nutshell.
And who found Jamie then? Obviously, he was...
When the Gardaí and the ambulance crew came to the house, Jamie had a head under his quilt in his bedroom from 8 o'clock in the morning until he was found at 1:30. He didn't move. He just lay there under his quilt, his big blue bear quilt that he always had for me. He just hid there and he didn't move. That's probably what saved him. Honest.
And Michael Kelly mentioned bringing his 7-year-old for therapy is probably too strong a word. How is Jamie now? Obviously he's a young man, isn't he, at this stage?
He's 16, he'll be 17 now in November, Joe. He's a great lad.
Great.
He's very mature, he's very sensible. We were so lucky that we had such a strong bond with Jamie before this all happened. Jamie would have spent maybe 2 to 3 nights a week here with Ciara.
Yeah.
You know, Ciara might have moved out, but she was still here with us a couple of nights a week. And we were a very strong relationship. And Jamie grew up the first 4 years knowing all three of us.
Yeah.
You know, for the first couple of years, they lived with us anyway. And then even when Ciara moved out, Jamie was here most weekends. You know, we were so lucky that bond was there, and we're so lucky still that we still have that strong bond. We love him to bits. He's the best in the world, and we're just trying our best for him.
And you yourself and your wife reared him, Micheál.
Yes. He's lived with us since the 12th of November 2007. He still lives with us. He's a great lad. He's really into his karate. He's represented Ireland on an international level.
Oh, fantastic.
He's got a world bronze medal in karate. He's a great lad, very sensible. For all the trauma he's been through, you know, it's surprising really how he copes with it. Of course, like, his mother was robbed from him. He has grown up not knowing his mother. You know, it's just terrible, but he's just the best in the world.
And did, in your earlier contribution, Micheál, you said that the IP at the Irish Prison Service informed you of this release in a fortnight's time for this man who murdered your daughter. Mm-hmm. And did they also say to you, like, you can complain, but it won't make a difference?
Well, that's what we were told on the phone last year, that you can complain, but the decision has been made. So then when my wife... When she rang up yesterday after she received the email, I don't know the exact word, but we were told that a commissioner who was appointed by the Minister of State makes a decision now. So this person must be independent from the Irish Prison Service.
But
has been appointed by the Minister. So that's why I'm saying today we need the Minister to reverse this decision. And I think the person who made the decision, the commissioner who decided to free Gordon Malloy for a day, needs to review his own position, because how could you let such a monster out into society? Incomprehensible. I just can't understand it.
The other slight difference, like Marius Kowalski's family in Poland weren't even told that David Curran was being released. Mm-hmm. But stay there with us, Micheál. Melissa, 51551. Melissa, good afternoon.
Hi, how are you?
This conversation, unfortunately for you, Melissa, is bringing up another horrific incident.
Yeah, well, at least I still have my mother. It's just listening to the two men there, like, they've lost, like, their daughter and their wife. At the end of the day, life should mean life. The only one that gets the life sentence is the victim and their families.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, indeed.
Like, he's still going out and he's living a life. Like, it's so hard. Like, if it was the people like in the prison or in the government, if it was their families, they just don't understand like what it does to you. And to see them going on and just living a normal life, it's just, it's awful.
And what happened to your mother, Melissa, please?
My mother, she was going to the shop and she was raped and left with severe brain injuries.
By this man who
by Anthony Cassidy, yes.
Yeah. And he got...
And Anthony doesn't feel any sort of remorse. He's actually bringing us back to court to appeal his sentence.
Yeah. And he got 18 years, such was the horrific nature of what he did to your mother.
Yeah. It's the Rape Crisis Centre said it's the biggest sentence ever got in Ireland for rape.
Now, you also discovered... And the state discovered that 6 weeks before he horrifically attacked and left your mother with permanent injuries, he had attacked another woman.
Yeah, he supposedly poured boiling water over them. They said that she had made the statement and then withdrew it. But he was living in Wexford at the time, and when he'd done this to this woman in Wexford, he moved to Carlow with his family. And was out drinking one night, and my mother was walking to the shop, and he seen her, and he then attacked her and left her then in the funeral home overnight until she was found the next morning.
Yeah. And he left your mother for dead.
Yeah.
That's the evidence that was given. And how soon afterwards was your mother discovered?
She was left. He attacked her on CCTV at 4 o'clock, and she wasn't found till 1 o'clock the next day.
Oh my God. 1 o'clock the next day or early the next morning?
The next day.
So 21 hours later, you're 21
hours.
Nine
to 10 hours later.
Yeah, okay.
Like, and it's just, at the end of the day, I know my story's different. I know my mother is not my mother anymore, but I still have her. Like, these men, they don't have their loved ones.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's just, it's gutting. Like, we haven't got to the stage where he's filing for parole yet, thank God. It's only so still early, like.
Yeah.
But I just can't imagine how hard it's going to be. And if we could change some way that life would mean life. Like, he's going to come out, they're going to do it again. This man, he was only 33 when he attacked my mother.
Yeah.
18 years, he's still going to be a young man. He's still going to have his capabilities about him.
And it's 2 years ago next month when he attacked your mother, June the 25th. And Melissa, how is your mother now?
She's kind of a prisoner in her own home. Like, she's not able to do all the stuff she used to. Like, she can't walk properly. She can't talk properly. She says, like, oh, my grandson walks better than me and talks better than me. And, like, my little boy is only 3. Like, he's ruined her life completely.
And does she need, full-time care?
Yeah, I'm her full-time care.
Oh, okay.
She goes to the Irish Wheelchair and she loves it. It gets her out, because otherwise she wouldn't go out. She goes there 2 days a week, and it's after being so brilliant for her, like.
So,
but
he raped your mother and left her with life. They are life-changing injuries from what you're saying.
Yeah, she had 4 bleeds on her brain, he bit her. And his excuse was that at least he didn't hit her with something. He only used his hands. That's what he said. And he said then in jail that, I wouldn't rape a woman, I'd pay for a prostitute first. And I was thinking, the stuff he said, it was just horrendous.
And I'm looking at a photograph of this man now. He is a big, big man.
Yeah, he's 6 foot. That's the first thing that hit us when he came into the court. My mother was 6 stone, 5'4". He's 6 foot something, and he's massive. Like, as I said, if he had a wanting to just rape her, hold her down and leave her go.
Oh, God.
Do you mean it would have been bad enough? But to leave her the way he left her. And then bragged about it on the town the week of it, before he was caught. He bragged saying, oh, the man, he gouged her eyes out so she couldn't see him and all this sort of stuff. I was thinking, how could you go around it? That's how he was caught. He was bragging.
Was he?
Bragging. But yeah, he's such a brave man. He's gone on to protection. Like, they're not brave at all. And when they come out, like, they shouldn't be allowed out. They really shouldn't. Something has to be done. Life should mean life in this country. We lock up drug dealers. We lock up all people like that. they get longer sentences half the time than rapists and murderers do. Like, they're given small, big sentences to small criminals. Give the life sentences, clear the prisons, give the small, like, shoplifters and stuff like that, give them community service to give back to what they've done to the community. Give the big lads, the rapists and the lads that take our families, give them the life sentence. Give them the sentence that they give us.
And Melissa, did the prisons have to, has any agency of the Irish government been back to you since June 2000, since the trial, and said, how is your mother?
No.
Is there any change?
No. Nothing. Like, she had a few turns and everything since then. And I said, like, will they give, add years onto a sentence for the way she's been deteriorating? And they said, no. What he got is what he got. But he's not happy with that. He said he got too long. And straight away, the minute they handed him down the 18 sentence, he turned around and said, I want to appeal that. He didn't even let us have the 18 years. No, I want to appeal that.
And in terms of, if I can ask this question, Melissa, have the medics, or indeed other professionals, have they said to you, this, your mother will hopefully, and again a warning for little ears if you've just turned on, because of the nature of what we're talking about and the horror of what have been visited on these three families. Has the prison service, have the medics said to you, with lots of therapy, your mother might improve? Have you been given
that? My mother's gone. My mother was in Dunleary for, she done the 7 months in Dunleary.
And the rehabilitation, yeah.
She done three, she was, it happened in June and she was released from Kilkenny Hospital in the October. Came home for Christmas and went into Dunleary. And because she was in Dunleary during our trial, his family started laughing and said, there wasn't a thing wrong with my mother. The only reason she didn't want to be there today was because she couldn't face it. And my mother was in trying to learn how to walk and talk again in Dunleary. And they were laughing and skipping my mother in the court, his family.
Okay.
We've tried everything with her. She's gone, we've done every sort of speech and language, OT, everything. The way we have her now is the way she's going to be. And, like, we're so lucky because the way she was so, so bad. So we are really lucky, like, we're one of the lucky families. I know we're not lucky in a way of what happened,
yeah, I know,
but I still have my mum. These two men, they don't have their family. I know she's not my mother, my real mother, but at least I have someone there. They have a grave to go to. If she had been left a little bit longer, we would have had a grave to go to. But it shouldn't. They shouldn't be let home to come back home and live a normal life. I don't agree with it. Something has to be done. Something has to change. There has to be a law put in place that they even have to serve a minimum term.
Yeah.
Like, we don't know. He could, as that man, Michael, said, after 7 years, they're allowed...
apply for parole.
Apply for parole. He only does, out of his a year, they get 3 months, I think, good behaviour. So out of every year, they only do 9 months. So that 18 years isn't really 18 years. It's 9 months per year. That's all they get. And then you give the good behaviour because he's a model prisoner.
Okay. Does your mother understand what's happening? Does she? Like, you know,
she
gave me a glimpse there when you said she so looks forward to going to the day centre. But do you want to elaborate on how?
She likes it because she says there's people like her there.
Okay.
Because, like, she doesn't like to go downtown. Like, she should be by right in a wheelchair, but she struggles to use the frame to get downtown because she said she doesn't want people pitying her. She doesn't want pity. She says, like, the worst thing about it is she blames herself. She says, if I hadn't went to the shop to get back.
Oh, my God.
And I said, it's not your fault.
To walk to the shops, the most innocent thing you could do in life, to walk to the shops of an afternoon.
You see, she went at night. She went...
Yeah, okay.
She couldn't sleep. Mummy wasn't a good sleeper and she went at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, did she? Okay, sorry, I got the times mixed up. Okay.
Yeah, it was 2 o'clock in the morning. But, like, it was an area we had lived in all our lives. Everyone knew her.
Yeah, but to go, like, to go to the shops or the petrol station to get cigarettes is not... It's a perfectly innocent thing to do.
And then she says to me, like, oh, it's not fair. Like, you shouldn't be washing me. You shouldn't be dressing me. Like, you're my daughter. I done that for you when you were a baby. Like, all the stuff he's done, he's took her dignity, but he's also took any little bit of self-respect she has. And we're slowly, slowly, slowly with the Irish wheelchair, helping her get back. Like, she was brilliant at doing flowers, and the Irish wheelchair have now brought people in this week so that Mammy can teach them how to do flowers. And she said, what am I going to do? She said, I can't speak properly. And I said, well, just show them how you do it.
Yeah.
Like, she's always constantly worried about what people, if they won't understand her, if all that sort of stuff. But yeah, he'll walk out there now, and he'll be able to walk properly, talk properly, and God knows what he'll do again. The same way as all these others when they get out. So how many people have re-offended once they get out?
So it's
in them.
And it's very important for you to remind people and remind the powers that be of what your mother went through and what your mother is going through.
I will never, ever live it down or let him forget or let the family forget. Like, the amount of people when I put up a post about it on Facebook and the family was writing, oh, take that down and give me dirty looks and saying stuff on the town. I don't care.
Okay,
I really
don't
care.
That, yeah.
I'm not afraid of anybody.
Okay.
My mother, people need to know he's going to be a young man when he gets out. I want people to know his face and see his face and be wary of him. He's a man to be afraid of.
Okay, stay with us, Melissa, Michael and Michal, and I want you to hear the person who's going to speak after the break. 51551 Joe at RTE.ie.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.